This is Tom Rowan. You're tuned in to Turn on the News, Free 103.9's daily look at radio art, radio news, media news, and more. You can tune in to free103.9.org or newsroom.free103.9.org for more information about anything you hear here. We'll be back in a second with the headlines. And we're also going to hear from Stockhausen tonight. And questions from the audience at the Flux Factory talking about Occupy Wall Street versus art. That's all coming up on Turn on the News. Tom Rowe with Turn on the News, a nightly look at radio news, radio art, and more. Go to newsroom.free103.9.org for more information about anything you hear here. Behind us tonight is Scanner with Persephone from his Time Lapse CD. Him, Andrew Elliott, at the Reporting on International Broadcasting blog. Links to the Financial Express, where Ashish Sinha writes that, quote, rivalry between cable operators and direct-to-home satellite companies has come to the fore with growing instances of direct-to-home jammers being used in parts of Mumbai and Delhi to distort direct-to-home signals. DTH firms like Tata Sky, Dish TV, Reliance, Big TV, Videocon, Airtel Digital TV, and more have alleged cases of intentional jamming of their signals, and they are claiming that it's the cable companies behind the jamming. Quote, using jammers to block direct-to-home signals selectively in affluent parts of the city is to promote cable usage, unquote, said a senior executive of a leading direct-to-home brand. The Direct Home Operators Association of India has cited seven specific instances when jamming has caused problems to direct-to-home signals in Mumbai between February 18th and March 18th this year. These instances happened during the telecast of popular events, including key cricket matches of India with Australia, Sri Lanka, and Pakistan, and on the telecast of the Filmfare Awards on February 19th. Go to Kim Andrew Elliott's blog for more information there. They also say that BBC Hindi is reinstating its morning shortwave transmissions. The program Namaskar Bharat begins on March 27th. Over at BillMoyers.com, the longtime newscaster, journalist, and television host has a short essay about recent efforts to put transparency into American elections through the media. He points folks at a story that he can't understand, the audacity of corporate broadcasters as reported in a story online at the Washington Post. The headline sums it up, quote, broadcasters fight plan to post names of political ad buyers on the web, unquote. And this is now quoting Bill Moyers, quote, that's right, the mega giants CBS and News Corp, enriched beyond the imagination of Midas by money pouring into their local stations from political advertising in an election year, are stamping their feet like spoiled children and shouting, no, we will not. They are defying the Federal Communication Commission's request that they post on the web the names of billionaires and front organizations, many of them super PACs, paying for those ads. That's all. Give citizens access online to find out who's buying our elections. Advocates of transparency in politics say that this is the most efficient way voters can know, quote, the true interest behind all that money pouring into elections. That's from BillMoyers.com. That's his little brief essay. He's got plenty of links there to organizations that are rallying around this cause, petitions and such, places to contact your congressperson. Last week on Turn on the News, we mentioned an oral history summer intensive that oral historian Suzanne Snyder is giving in Hudson, New York, July 13th through 22nd. There's now a website for more information. Go to oralhistorysummerschool.tumblr.com. And the folks at Creative Radio point us to a new book. Well, it's not new, actually. The paperback has been released now. And that's The Power of Community Media, International Perspectives. And the little synopsis online, I'll read a bit of. Drawing on both theoretical and practical case studies, Community Media is the name of the book, edited by Linda K. Fuller, moves from developing attempts at local media to case studies and on to cyber examples. Alphabetically, it's more than 24 cases, including reports on the Asian Pacific region, Australia, Bangladesh, Belgium, Brazil, Ghana, India, Ireland, Israel, Japan, Latin America, Lebanon, Singapore, Spain, Sweden, Thailand, Turkey, the United Kingdom, the United States, and other perspectives. That book is called The Power of Global Community Media. You're listening to Echo from Scanner on Turn on the News. David Talbot at technologyreview.com reports that about data throttling. Mobile carriers target their heavy users, the one with the unlimited data plans, and slow down their data transfer speeds after they hit a certain threshold. He's also reporting, or David Talbot is also reporting that carriers are using sophisticated software to sort out complaints from customers and efficiently respond to complaints from customers who have data plans that are very profitable towards the carriers and not so much respond to folks with unlimited data plans. You can go to technologyreview.com to see that story. Next on Turn on the News, we have the story of a monkey who works at a radio station and then gets his own television show.
On the radio, Brass Monkey, someday we'll have his own TV show. Get busy on top.
Vamos a ver, mamacita.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Word.
You're listening to Turn on the News. That was the Tito LaRiva vocal version of the Talking Heads Radiohead song there. And we want to head next to Queens in New York. Last March 21st, there was a Flux Death Match, the first. This one between art critics Patty Johnson of Artfag City and Harg Vartian of Hyperallergic. Artist John Powers and William Pohita discussing Occupy Wall Street versus art, whether it is art or politics or what it is. This just came out of a long-running online Twitter feud feed. Free 103.9 is going to air the entire thing this Saturday, March 31st at 7 p.m. at Free 103.9 online radio. But here's the question and answer session, a little brief excerpt from it the other night.
So on to our last act. We would like to invite you guys, the audience, up. We're going to limit it to like 30 seconds for asking a question or saying something, just so that we can be sure that everyone gets a chance. And also we would ask you to come up here and speak into the mic so DJ Von Richie and our friends at Free 103 can hear.
So you guys are watching the clock?
Hi, I just want to touch on something, John, you said earlier, which is that the Gini coefficient and income inequality is kind of the source of all this, and if ours can fix that, then, like, we're all sorted. How? Like, lawyers are expected to do a certain amount of charitable lawyering. Doctors start free clinics all the time. It happened at Zuccotti Park. What can artists do? Like, what's our thing that we can provide people to, like, stop inequality in a tiny way? And I just want to forward one thing, which is, William, you're talking about the cost of MFAs. MFAs are, correct me if I'm wrong, like, studio space, some accomplished artists telling you to try new things, a piece of paper, and some art world cred. Like, between you guys, you've kind of got everything except the cred and some space. Like, can we just do that?
I need that.
I did it, John.
So that was a two-parter. The first part was about the Gini coefficient or index. I don't know what we can do. You know, Occupy Wall Street doesn't have to make the answers, but it does have to start speaking clearly about what they want. It has to start speaking clearly because it's got to draw in the unions. It's got to draw in a lot of people who don't quite get it. And so saying what we want is to close the gap. How? We're not politicians. We're not lawyers. We're not doctors. I'm not. We're artists. Right? I don't know. We can help them by joining them. I don't think we can help them by splitting away and attacking our museums. I think we can help them by bringing our friends who are collectors, bringing our friends who are on boards, bringing our friends who are curators and museum directors into the fold. I don't know what to say about the MFA. That's a drag.
I think the question of the MFA is a really good one because I think it creates an environment where people sort of walk out into an industry where it's really hard to figure out how you're supposed to make money. And especially during the recession, that was really obvious because I think William touched on that. That is true. For a while there, people thought, hey, you know, I could have a solo show and it's going to sell out and I'm going to be really successful. And then for a while, after 2008, that kind of stopped. And no one could really figure out how to make money and people had a lot of debts. I was really lucky that I was able to go to school in the system where I was able to have a job and I didn't have a single school debt, you know, when I left. And that's really rare. And I think we should get back to that sort of, you know, that sort of system if we could. I mean, because I just don't see how artists walk out with $100,000 in debt and they expect to somehow, you know, make this happen. So I did go to it. That's what I'm saying. It's like
socialism.
You know,
that's all right. That's what it's called.
Well, you know, there are state schools here in the U.S. that are a lot cheaper than having to go to Harvard, you know.
I'll just respond. Today, I was over at Pratt, which is a private school. I'm sure it costs a lot of money to go there every year. And there was a woman from Kuwait who was studying to get her MFA. And she explained that she also has to immediately go get a PhD in art so she can go back and teach in Kuwait. They don't believe that an MFA is a terminal degree and you need a PhD so she can teach. And so I think this is like the cycle needs to be broken of that you need to get a degree so that you can go teach other people to go get a degree so that they can get another degree so that you can teach. And it's just this Ponzi scheme that's ridiculous. It doesn't really have much. She didn't mention that she really wanted to make art at any point along this way. She just needed to get all these certificates so she'd go teach people how to make art so that they don't have to teach. Speaking of that, what can artists do? I mean, I would love to see artists go into schools and teach kids art because the schools don't have art programs, and if you're an unemployed artist, you know, you're not getting paid anyway. You know, we could do something like this, whether it's formal or informal or, you know, institutionally approved or not.
I think most things have been covered here. The only thing I would add to this, it has sort of been covered by you, which is I don't think that anybody has to get an MFA, and I do think that that's a scam, particularly if you only maybe want to teach. For the most part, you can get a job teaching if you have a successful artist record. So I just don't see the point. It's a lot of money, and everybody I know who has a lot of student loans can't do the jobs they need to do as an artist because their hands are tied because they have to pay so many loans.
Thank you guys. So these groups are very accessible, the ones you're talking about. Occupy Museums, Occupy Arts and Labor, Arts and Culture, like they have websites, you can Google them. Like their meetings are open to everybody and you should come if you're interested. Do artists who share these opinions, and there was a recent conversation on Facebook, a recent debate about the moral imperative that artists face and whether or not they should really be involved in the movement. Do you guys believe that there really is a should, you know? Like, should artists be involved on a regular basis, not just as critics, not just as...
Involved in Occupy Museums or involved
or Occupy.
Like involved in OWS in general.
I mean, OWS in general, but these groups in particular are also very accessible.
Okay.
Were you asking anyone in particular?
I was asking you in particular.
Let me just quickly say that I think education is really valuable, and that
all right, you can hear that entire talk at fluxfactory.org, and it'll also be on Free 103 Point Line online radio March 31st at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. That's minus 4 GMT. You've been listening to Turn on the News, daily look at radio art, radio news, media news, and more from Free 103.9. Go to newsroom.free103.9 and free103.9.org for more information.